Exodus chapter 20, same place as we read this morning. We'll read the same exact verses the same exact way. Exodus chapter 20, begin reading in verse number 1 all the way through verse number 17. You'll go ahead and join me on that last verse, verse number 17. Exodus chapter 20, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, for the truths that are in it, Lord, for the simplicity of this book. Lord, be with our pastor tonight. Lord, fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Give us clarity of thought as we listen. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, teach us how to be a proper citizen. Lord, teach us the importance of these commandments that you've given us, Lord, and how they apply to our lives. We love you and we thank you. Amen.
May be seated. Let me challenge you, if you did not hear this morning's sermon, it'll be online this week, about Tuesday or so. I challenge you to listen to it. I'm going to review quickly tonight. I'm not going to go in depth like I did this morning, otherwise we won't be out of here till 8:30 tonight. All right, so probably there is more wrong teaching about the Ten Commandments than all other topics put together in the Bible. It is the premise of all works salvation. People don't understand. Man has a way of perverting truth to make truth convenient for man. We want to view God from man's side instead of man from God's side. We have this desire to be our own God. That was a result of sin. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, "Wouldn't you like to be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself? You could be like God." And since we sinned, like Satan did, we have become our own God. Now, here in Exodus 20, the Jews have left Egypt. They've gone through the 10 plagues. They've gotten chased by the Egyptian army. They've crossed the Red Sea. The Red Sea's closed up over top of the Egyptian army, and they went blub, blub, blub in the bottom of the Red Sea. And everything is doing well. Moses now leads 3.5 to 5 million people, roughly the size of the city of Chicago, 5 times at least the size of D.C. Can you imagine leading that many people and everybody came to you with their questions? For 3 months, Moses did this. It's roughly about 3 months into this time when Moses' father-in-law says, "Hey, you know, 430 years in bondage, now you're free, and you take too much on you, you're going to kill yourself trying to lead all these people. And if you don't kill them, they're going to kill you. So let's get you some help. And they break down into a system to where there were smaller leaders and then leaders over bigger groups of people and bigger groups of people. And then the ones at the top of that level would take the main problems to Moses, and down it came. In other words, they were setting up a structure for government. People need government. Government was made because man sins against man. Government is there to protect man from his fellow man. That is the purpose of government. Now, government is not a bad thing. Here's what happens. We get involved, we put our sin involved with it, and it gets corrupt. Every nation, no matter what time in history, has had some form of rules by which they govern themselves. In 1776, we declared our freedom from England. We put together what we called the Articles of Confederation. The Articles of Confederation were our constitution from 1776 to 1789. By 1789, America just about wiped itself off the face of the earth and went back to being with England. But we had enough men to stand up and say, we could make this work, but we got to restructure it. That's when George Washington said it takes a wagon load of money to buy a wagon load of groceries. The Articles of Confederation do not work. Okay? Now, in 1789, we adopted what we called the Constitution of the United States. It's amazing to me. 1789, in 1861, the South broke away from the North. Do you know what they used as their Constitution? The Articles of Confederation. That's why they couldn't win the war, because they were so disjointed. It does not work. They didn't learn what happened less than 100 years before then with it. It will not work. It's impossible. You can't have multiple states with multiple currencies that don't coincide with each other and cohabitate together as a unit. It doesn't work. And that was only the beginning of the problems with that. All that to say, every nation, every people group, every city has rules by which they rule themselves. We here at the church have a church constitution, and we have bylaws. You say, why is that? That way, if we face anything legal, everything goes back to that, and they see if we're following those to the letter of the law, and that's how we are tried and how we were founded. That is exactly what's true in a country. Now, I've got to hurry here. The Ten Commandments were given as a constitution to the Jewish people to establish themselves as a nation in the wilderness, to get ready to go into the promised land and take that government into the land of Israel with them. It had nothing to do, these were 10 laws by which they governed themselves. You read chapter 20, chapter 21, chapter 22, chapter 23, all of which contain the 10 commandments. For instance, we could list the Articles of the Constitution, and you could summarize it in one statement. That's what chapter 20 is. Then chapters 21 through 23 go back and explain what all those were all about. Now watch this. I'm going to say this very carefully here. The Ten Commandments have nothing to do with going to heaven. Matter of fact, if you go to chapter 19, early in verses 3 through 8, you find out that they were establishing a government. It was for them to become a government of people, a nation of people. It has nothing to do with going to heaven. From chapter 20 to chapter 23 to the end, you find nothing about heaven, salvation, redemption, or any word in reference to salvation mentioned. Say why? Because the Ten Commandments were not moral. They were not salvation laws. They were how man was to govern themselves amongst themselves with other people group and with themselves. And that is exactly what the Ten Commandments is all about. Now, I've got to hurry, but let me say this. I'm flying through this. Let me just jump over. The Hebrew language is a bit different than English. Let me try to explain this. And I'm not one of these people that sits down and reads Greek and Hebrew and, well, the Greek is better than the English translation. No, it's not. The King James Bible is as accurate as the Hebrew translation. It's as accurate as the Greek translation. But there's a slight difference in how things are worded in Greek and Hebrew. For instance, Hebrew's written from bottom right to top left. You read from bottom, from right to left, instead of top, left to right. So it's backwards from us, all right? Also, I'm not saying where it came from, it's just what it is. Now, also with that, there are a couple things about Greek and Hebrew that are much alike, with virtually the same, and that is this. The position of something in a list, it's always listed by importance first, and it follows down that line. So the most important thing will be mentioned first, the second most second, third most third, etc., etc. Then how many words are used in that explanation also show emphasis. You know the verse in the New Testament, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the Greek, it literally read this, I will not know, never know, ever leave thee. Grammatically in English, it's not correct to use a quintuple negative. In Greek, it was saying, ain't no way it's happening. Virtually. But it was showing emphasis by the many negatives that were used with that. It was placing emphasis on that. Same is true in Hebrew. The more words used shows the importance of it, places a little bit stronger emotion and importance on that document or that statement. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Whew. Your Greek and Hebrew lesson is over. Praise the Lord. All right, now, you're welcome. Now, I want you to notice something about the Ten Commandments. If you kept the Ten Commandments, you didn't stop sinning. There are more sins than 10 sins. Don't you wish there were only 10? You wouldn't have committed as many. This was how to treat things when these sins were committed, and they were warnings so that you wouldn't have more problems because of these sins and these evils. Now, I want to help you with something. I mentioned the order. The first commandment is this, thou shalt have no other gods before me, verses 2 and 3. Two verses are used. Lots of words are used. Say, why is that? God knew that man wanted to be his own God. God knew that man makes a pretty bad God. God knew that man needed somebody to go to say, I need your help. By the way, the God that created everything has a pretty good idea how we should govern. Maybe we ought to listen to him instead of each other. God knew that man left to it being his own God would eventually allow government to be God. Man left to himself will govern himself to where government becomes God. That's what socialism is. That's what communism is. That's what many of your dictatorships are. It's what in some form and fashion, even some of your European nations with kings and queens and that type of thing has become. Now, it doesn't mean that every government is bad, but man left to himself will allow government to be God. That's where America's at today. We are allowing the government to tell us what to do. Government is to do what we tell it to do.
Amen.
Mr. O'Rourke needs to get his head placed in the Constitution and realize that the semi-automatic rifles, yes, they are military style in some ways, but guess what? We have the right to bear arms, not just to go hunting.
Amen.
The Second Amendment was for us to protect ourselves against our government.
Right.
Had nothing to do with hunting. Had everything to do with when a government became oppressive that you could fight and you didn't have your arms taken away from you.
Amen.
You say, are you for assault style rifles? Yes, I am. You say, why? Because I feel like everybody has the right to own one. Well, it's a shame that we have this many people in America and these many guns. What's wrong with that? Can I tell you who's upset with it? The people that want to take over you.
That's right.
They don't want to get shot at. And the only way they can do that is control the guns.
Right.
Boy, that's good stuff. I got to hurry up here. In other words, God uses two verses, places this first, because God knew man needed a true God of truth that would keep him from destroying himself.
Right.
Number two, thou shalt not make any graven image. Verses 4 through 6, God talks about the sky, the birds, the space, the earth, things on the earth, things under the earth, and the things in the water. We're not supposed to worship the stars, the genealogies, or not the genealogy, the astrology. Sorry, it all goes together there. What is your sign? See. See? Yeah, Christian. That's my sign. All right. Got an S on my chest. No. But anyway. Yeah, buddy, you want a sign? Here you come. You see, having man-made gods means man is God. Any God that a man can make is not a God I want.
Amen.
It goes back to Romans 1:25 where it says they'll worship the creation the creature more than the creator. By the way, that's in reference to the Sodomites as well. They are worshiping the body that was created and not the creator. Now, government not based on truth or a living God will always be a government of corruption based on death and superstition. They'll look for fairness, not justice. It'll be race-based, it'll be gender-based, it'll be based on whatever that leader wants it to be based on. Folks, I'm not a racist because I believe in justice for all.
Amen.
I'm not a racist because I think that we ought to wait till all the facts are in before we make a decision, before it's ever put on the news.
Amen.
How about the news wait till the trials are over before they report what crime was committed?
Right.
Because all we want to do is say there's a crime committed. This is who's guilty of it before they ever been tried. Isn't it amazing how many times President Trump's been found guilty in the press and he's 22-0 on corruption?
Right.
I loved what he said this week. He said, it's another witch hunt. It's okay. I'm 22-0. I'm ready to go 23-0. Love it. Hoorah. Number three. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God was establishing the chain of authority. Went through Romans 13:1-3, how that we are to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We're to subject ourselves to the higher powers. Can I tell you something? If you get pulled over tonight going home for speeding, guess what? You ought to be respectful to the police officer. You're the one that broke the law, not him. Well, I was only doing 5 miles an hour over. You were over. You broke the law. Tough toenails. Eat it. Say why? It's not the police officer's fault. He's doing his job. That's what you're paying him to do. Everybody doing okay? I think they ought to be treated with respect. Don't look at government as the enemy until the government is the enemy. But the government is not the enemy. I believe you ought to pay your taxes. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Like it or lump it, we got to pay them. I believe we ought to pray for leadership. By the way, it doesn't say that that's true for just saved leaders. I think you ought to be respectful to your lost drunk boss. He has a position. It's a God-given position. God set up the chain of authority. Now you respect it. It didn't say you had to like him. It didn't say you had to like what he does, but you ought to respect his position. Boy, that's good stuff. Yes. Now we're into new territory. You ready? Number four. Look at verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want you to notice something. It didn't say that the Sabbath day is holy. It says to keep it holy. Now watch this. It goes all the way through verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11 to describe how we do that. In other words, four verses are used. A lot of words are used to describe about keeping the Sabbath to keep it holy. By the way, and I don't have time to go there, but if we went to Colossians chapter 2, when Jesus came during his earthly ministry, he started the church on the Lord's Day. Watch this. According to Colossians chapter 2, he nailed all of the Sabbaths to the cross. That's why we don't go to church on Sunday, and that's why Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Not true. The Sabbath was there in reference to God wanted man to rest one day a week. Not two, not three. God took rest one day a week. Everybody doing all right? You can go back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You can go to many other places. Genesis chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 talk about how God looked at everything, saw that it was good, and he rested the seventh day. The Sabbath is the seventh day. Sunday is the first day of the week. Saturday is the seventh day of the week. We call it the weekend. We think Sunday is the end of the week. Uh-uh. Saturday is the end of the week. Sunday's the first of the week. God wanted us to give him first place, not last place. Everybody doing okay? That's also in reference to the Sabbath years. Every 7 years, they were to let the land rest. That doesn't mean that they didn't plant any crops on the seventh year. What they would do is they would take, usually they would divide their farms up into sevenths. And they would let one field rest 1 year, one field rest another year, and they would rest one seventh of the land. But at some point in time, you have to let the land rest or you're going to deplete it. You'll get more production by backing it down and letting it rest every so often. Now, let me say it this way. You say, why is that, preacher? Couple reasons. Number one, God doesn't want you addicted to wealth. Amen. You say that again. God doesn't want you addicted to wealth. God doesn't want you addicted to productivity. We live in a generation that is addicted to what we call success. If we didn't have more people in church this year than we had last year, we're failing. That's a preacher that is production oriented and not God oriented. I said it. I know preachers that would, I've heard them preach like this around the country, everywhere. Bless God, if you go out sowing and come back without seeing somebody saved, you just stay out till you get somebody saved because you're not right with God. It's not us that gets anybody saved. It's the Holy Spirit of God. The mailman doesn't go out and deliver all the mail and wait for everybody to pay their bills before he goes home. He just delivers the message. Why is it my responsibility to make sure they get saved? You're crossing over into God's territory, that's not man's territory. It doesn't say go into all the world and get everybody saved. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I heard a preacher, I won't tell you who it was, I know who it was. Somebody sent me something from them that said, this was the title in a nutshell, that where is the great multiplication of the church today? Not our job to multiply it, that's the job of the Lord and the people. I'm not worried about the multiplication of, I'm worried about doing what we're supposed to do. Now, the world is addicted to production, to success. We measure it by more, not God's way. Do you know God measures success by obedience and not by productivity? Right. Let me say that again. God measures success by obedience, not productivity. There are some people that can get straight A's. There are some people that they can't get A's. Right, Joe? That one and that one. Did you know that C's are still passing?
Yes, sir. Amen to that.
Aren't you glad? For some of you, you're glad D's are still passing. I'm watching the men's head shake on that one. Mm-hmm. Some of you better be glad they lowered the curve so that you could hit the ball, amen? Uh-huh. Yeah. Hang on, we're going to go to meddling. Can I tell you something? Just because somebody doesn't produce at the level you produce doesn't mean you're right and they're wrong. God did not make me to be Dr. Jack Hiles. God didn't make me to be Lee Robertson, J. Frank Norris, and he didn't make me, thank God, to be Scott Gardner.
Amen.
Yeah. Matter of fact, one might be too much, but it's all right. Can I say something? God made me to be me.
Amen.
Quit comparing yourself to everybody and making yourself the standard.
Right.
Notice God gives four whole verses to this. Do you know that God made your body to rest one day a week?
Yep.
Now that doesn't mean you stay in bed all day long.
Oh, okay.
All right, yeah, I'm going to get there. It didn't say sleep. It says rest from your work. All right? I take one day a week off most of the time. Not always. I've gone months and months and months and months and never took a day off. Doesn't bother me. But every once in a while, the body says, you can go on without me, but I'm crashing. And it just needs a little bit of extra time down, time away. Fellas, you can get so consumed in your work that you drive everybody at home nuts. Everybody doing all right? Man, that's good preaching.
Amen.
That's why 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil.
That's right.
We get so in, by the way, money is not evil. The love of money is. When you choose to start working during church time and working on Sundays because you choose to, not because you have to, we have a problem.
Amen.
You have put you've put that above God. Everybody doing okay? Okay. I'm going to number 5. I got to hurry here. Honor thy father and mother. Look at verse number 12. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Notice, everybody, did you realize that was in the middle of the list? That's number 5. It's not the highest priority. Oh, I know, Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do you know there's a difference between obedience and honor? I love my dad, but I'm 52 years old. Do you know I don't have to obey my daddy anymore? I grew up. This is my son. He's 28. Whew, got that one right. Pulled that one out of the hat, didn't I? He just had a birthday. I had to think about it. He's 28 years old. Do you know that he doesn't have to obey me as daddy? But I love and respect that man. And the Bible says to honor thy father and thy mother. When a young person becomes an adult, they go from obedience to honor. Do you know what the word honor means? It means to take what you've been given and make it bigger. It means to take what you've been given and expand it. So I have. My father, my mother gave me Christian heritage. I took it, what they gave to me, I've expanded it, and look what God has done. That's what he has done. And by the way, they don't have to do that just in the spiritual realm. I believe in paying my bills. I believe in being honest. I believe in hard work. You say, where'd you get it? Your dad? Yep. That's called honoring my father. I was talking to somebody this week and they said, boy, you put a lot of hours in. I said, yep. They said, why is that? I said, because my dad's still alive and I'm afraid he'd whoop me if I didn't. They looked at me. I said, hey, I just respect my dad enough, the hardest working man I ever met in my life. Good stuff. That's called honor. Yeah. Honor thy father and thy mother. God wants us to teach children to obey and not to protest and march for their own rights. Let me say that again. We're to teach children to obey, not to protest for their rights. Do you know what right a child has? Yes, sir, or no, sir. Yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. A child, isn't it amazing? A child only has rights when it's in a public school system, but when it's in the mother's womb, it has no rights. How about we protest for children's rights in the womb? But you got Aunt Nancy Pelosi up there that it's immoral to stop abortion. She literally made that statement public this week. I say, preacher, I don't think you ought to use names. Then don't use it, I will. World War II was won by children that were obedient and became young adults and won a war on two theaters in a worldwide war. Vietnam was lost by rebellious children who protested and marched for their own rights. I said it. The very ones that fought hard to win the war raised the kids that let them disobey and rebel and protest. The ones that fought all of hell had their children protesting, hell no, we won't go. Everybody doing okay? The ones that were obedient won. The ones that were rebellious, look what happened. We raised Bill Clinton's. We raised Nancy Pelosi's. And Chuckie Schumer's. And Andrew Cuomo's. Should I keep going? That's where that generation came from, just so you know. You see, obedient children make better citizens. Did you know if you obey your mom and dad, you'll be a better citizen and you'll have better health? If you listen to your parents say, don't drink booze, you're not going to have to worry about being drunk when you drive. You're not going to ruin your health. You're not going to kill somebody and spend the rest of your life in jail. You're not going to be beating on somebody. You're not going to get beat up because you never touched booze. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. See, children who obey make better citizens. America has ruined us civically because our schools and our colleges teach our young people to protest, not obey. It ought to be criminal for anybody to take public school kids to go out and protest for climate change. And yet they do it in just about every school in America. They teach kids to turn their parents into the government because, well, they hit me, I'll turn you in. Oh, bless God, my dad would have dialed the phone for me. He'd have taken me there and dropped me off. Yeah, buddy. Come get him. Here you go. You can have him. They allow college students to break the law and drink underage like fish, become immoral with one another, live like worse than animals out in the barnyard, and promote it for their college. Any college that lets anybody under the age of 21 drink ought to lose every bit of public funding they have.
Amen.
We could shut down the drunkenness in our colleges real quick if we just obeyed the law.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? They teach our kids that God is bad and God is mean. My wife had a second grader tell her last week or the week before, God's mean. He's the one that lets all these wars and all these people die. God's bad. I hate God. And at school. God knew that obedient children would live longer and live better. Did you know that if a child learns how to obey authority, when the police officer pulls them over and says, put your hands up, that you put your hands up and you don't run away?
Right.
If the officer says, stop, you stop.
Right.
Instead of resisting. Everybody doing okay? Anybody that resists the police officer, guess what? You deserve to get whatever you get.
Amen.
I hate to tell you, and I don't care what color your skin is.
Right.
I was 15, 16 years old, getting ready to start driving. My dad said, son, you ever get pulled over, you put your hands on top of the steering wheel, you get the window rolled down, put your hands on top of the steering wheel, and you do everything the officer says. If he tells you to get out of the car and you didn't do anything wrong and he put you in handcuffs, we'll take care of it later. That's what courts are for. But I'd rather you be alive and obedient than dead because you mouthed off to an officer. My dad didn't do that because of the color of my skin. He was teaching me how to follow leadership.
Right.
You start carrying, even in a constitution carry state like West Virginia, I think you ought to declare if you ever get pulled over by a police officer.
Right.
He doesn't know who you are and he doesn't know your intention.
That's right.
And if he sees it laying there, he has a right to pull his on you and woe be to you. I think I've already decided what I would do. Well, what if you have a permit? I still would declare.
Amen.
He doesn't know me.
Right.
He doesn't know I'm a pastor. He doesn't know what I do for a living. Well, I know me. Yeah, you want to be your own God. You're not real bright. Number 6. I got to hurry here. What was that, Brother Mike? Yeah. You might have a ventilated rib. Amen. Number 6. Thou shalt not kill. Look at verse 13. Do you realize in Hebrew there's only two words used there? Don't kill. In the Hebrew language, it's given two words. We put murder at the top of our list of sin. God made it number 6 on the list of commandments, and he only gave it two words. How many times have you been out talking to somebody and said, well, I never killed anybody. I hope I get to heaven. Oh, yeah, you're way down on the list. You put that at the top of the list. If we would live the first 5 well, we wouldn't have to worry about number 6. Think about it. If you had a respect for God, you didn't take his name in vain, you followed leadership, you did the things in the first 5 alone, there would be far less murder in our world today.
Amen.
God wants us to have respect for life.
Amen.
Say that again. God wants us to have respect for life. So when you go hunting, preacher, God made the creatures for food.
Amen.
You didn't eat your hamburger or steak today without something dying. Yeah, but a deer's cuter than a cow to you, but I know people think cows are cuter than deer. Right, Mrs. Barnes? She doesn't care which end it is. Right, Joe? All right. We watch too much murder on TV. Listen to this very carefully. We let adults and children play video games that have way too much murder and violence on them. We are so desensitized to violence that we say, well, it's not that bad. We watch violence reported on the news. There are things on the news today that would have never been on television 30 years ago. We read too much violence, either in our news or in our novels or books or whatever. We read way too much about violence. We are so desensitized to murder that we're accustomed to it. Guarantee you hit the news button and you're either going to say how many people were killed or how were they killed today. Because usually the first 10 or 15 minutes of a news broadcast is about this pervert, that pervert, or this people got shot, or this many people got killed, or this person got stabbed. What happened to the old newspapers that talked about births, not abortions? Our laws allow the murder of babies for abortion, and yet it's wrong to hurt an animal? I'm not for abusing an animal. Let me say that. But if I have to choose between the life of a child and a puppy dog loses, child wins.
Amen. That's right.
If we have to choose between Spotty the owl and a baby, choose the baby, kill Spotty the owl.
Amen. Goody.
Everybody doing all right? I loved it. Remember when Exxon Valdez happened? They rehabilitated all these seals that had oil on them. They captured two seals, and it took almost $1 million to clean them up and recoup them and stuff. They had this big ceremony where the green people were out there, and they were all throwing a party that they were going to let them go. They let them go, and they no sooner got about 200 yards from the shore, and two orca whales came up and ate both of them. I don't know about you, but I laughed my fool head off. I thought it was great. I thought that was the most expensive lunch those whales ever ate. Caviar. They had sushi. Say, oh, preacher, that's... Do you know how many times a day that happens in the real world? Why should we be upset about it? I was glad that it happened. Well, yeah, I thought it was funny. Everybody, people were crying. I thought it was great. Say why? Because we put more into that than they would somebody's life. This is due to a violent allowing society. I challenge you: go home and look at your games that you play, and see what you would really allow your family to do in real life. If they couldn't do it in real life, I wouldn't play it. Everybody doing okay? Police officers will tell you the most dangerous criminals in the world are those that have been desensitized by video games. They have numbed themselves to the adrenaline. They are so used to killing that they are so steady and so accurate because it does not bother them to pull the trigger and shoot somebody because they've done it so many times in their video games. You say, well, that's cold-blooded. We've trained them to be cold-blooded killers. I got to hurry here. Number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse number 14. God knew the purer the wedding vows, the less crime and corruption civilly would take place.
Yes.
Did you hear what it just said? That means less divorce, less violence, domestically, less murder, less hurt children, both emotionally and physically. less struggle with homelessness and financial woes. The divorce in America has just about ruined us economically. By the way, did you know that thou shalt not commit adultery is only about three or four words in the Hebrew language? And it's number 7? Now, it's important. Used to be you got married and stayed married. I can't help if you've been divorced, but can I tell you something? The one you're with, stay with them no matter what. Said, till death do us part. That doesn't mean till she kills you either. Let me say it this way. Look how much less mess in life there would be if folks didn't live in such a way to where there was as much divorce. With this part of the family this week and with this part of the family that week and back and forth and split kids and two different worlds and two different families and the confusion that it brings and the heartache that it brings. My heart goes out to young people that have to go through that. Now, tell you something, make the right choice the first time. Take your time. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Stay with the one you got. And by the way, don't blame your ex too much. You chose them the first time.
That's right.
Sorry. Take your time. America needs to get back to morality. Shacking up, still shacking up. I don't care what they call it. Hooking up, still fornication and adultery. That's why in the New Testament, it says if you look at a woman the wrong way, you're lusting in your heart as though you've committed adultery already with her. God made marriage for a man and a woman, not for Adam and Steve.
Amen.
I will not marry sodomites. It is in our church constitution. They're not allowed to join our church. I cannot keep them from attending, but I can keep them from joining, and I won't marry somebody who at least one of them is not a member of our church. Everybody doing okay? Say why? I will not sanction a sodomite marriage, and I'll go to jail over it. Don't give a rip. Everybody doing okay? We need to get back to modesty and dress, both genders. Let's quit advertising with sex on everything.
Amen.
30 years ago, I didn't use that word in the pulpit.
That's right.
If you heard a preacher use that word in the pulpit, you didn't go hear him again.
Right.
But I have to today. Number 8, I got to hurry. Thou shalt not steal. You realize there's only 2 Hebrew words for that? Don't steal. Verse 15 is where it's found. We're not to take anything that's not ours, no matter how small it may be.
Amen.
Did you know if it was that small, you didn't need it anyway?
That's right.
Stealing affects our pride, and it is also caused by pride. If Brother Lopez takes something that's mine, it's because he wants what's mine. That's later, thou shalt not covet. And he says, I want it because he has it and I don't have it. I want it. That's pride. But watch this. How I treat him about how he took it may affect my pride. Are we doing okay? God wants us to earn what we get. We're not to just take it because we want it. That's what's wrong with the welfare mentality. It is stealing. I'm going to cover your kids' ears. Robin Hood is a bad character in history. You don't rob from the rich to give to the poor. That's called stealing. I don't care if it's Disney or not. It's Bernie Sanders. It's the Democrat Party. It's everybody that wants to take from the rich and give to the poor. It's FDR. Not yet, Gus. After a while. I got his attention, didn't I? The welfare of America's society today has stolen from the worker to give to the non-worker and the non-citizen. Non-citizens do not have American status. They don't deserve what American citizens get. They shouldn't vote. They shouldn't get health care. And they should not get welfare. And they should not get a driver's license.
Amen.
That's why the Democrats want motor voter laws, so that when you get your driver's license, you get the ability to vote.
No.
By the way, it promotes poverty.
Right.
It decreases the production of those that do work, because why work when you're paying for somebody else?
Right.
And it promotes government oppression for power. I've got to hurry. I've got two more I got to get through. Number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, verse number 16. This is more than just telling a lie. There's a difference in thou shalt not lie, which is not in there. In the, it says thou shalt not bear false witness. Are you ready? Adam Schiff before Congress on Thursday or Friday this week about President Trump and the Ukraine phone call got up and he committed this very act.
Yes, right.
He bore false witness about the President of the United States in a phone call that is printed out that you can read. He said, well, the President said this. And he went on about a 7 or 8 minute rampage lie where everything that came out of his mouth was a filthy lie.
Yes.
To the point where when a reporter asked him, he said, well, I was speaking in parody. That's how the Ukrainian president would have received what the president said. That's called bearing false witness. That is criminal in our society, and he should go to jail over it.
Amen.
It's called perjury.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? This is lying to hurt another person's reputation or character. Nancy Pelosi should go to jail.
Right.
And a few others.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, just open it up and close it down and fill it full of concrete. It's evil. Bearing false witness is evil. We would call it gossip.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, aren't you afraid? No, the United States media has borne false witness for decades.
Right.
They are making news. They are not reporting the news.
Right.
Started all the way back in, honestly, back in World War II, during the end of World War II, when they allowed reporters over in Europe. Really came on the scenes in the 1960s with the Vietnam War. They would show you a very small portion of a battle, and they'd show soldiers who had shot children. They didn't tell you the whole story. Because when they went into the Vietnamese villages, the Vietnamese people would booby-trap the children, strap bombs to their bodies, because they knew the American GIs would take care of the children. They would pull their Hershey bars out of their pocket to give the children. And when the child lifted his hand to grab it, those bombs would go off and blow up the American soldiers. Now you choose. What are you going to do? How about they report the whole truth, not just what they want you to see? Let's go back to modern history. 1992, Rodney King, out in L.A. I was there. I won the chief of detectives of the Compton Police Department to Christ, Danny Sneed. He was about that tall, had shoulders that wide, and a 29-inch waist. Toughest little feller I ever saw in my life, and I wanted him on my side. He said, Brother Bush, did you ever see that whole video? Because we were out there during the Rodney King riots. I said, no. He said, let me show it to you. They showed you 32 seconds of a 4.5 minute video. I've seen the entire video. If you saw the rest of it, you'd know why they did what they did. Those men should have never gone to jail. They tried to save the man's life by not shooting him. Just so you know. They hit him with 6 tasers at one time, and he was so high on PCP, he was just pulling them off, laughing at him. He had 2 female cops by the back of the head and bashing their heads into cruisers. I could go on and on. By the way, he'd been arrested several times since, before he died. But the press only showed you what they wanted you to see.
Right.
They doing okay? You say, what is that, bearing false witness? Let's learn how to tell the truth, no matter who it hurts. Some of you need to tell the truth to yourself about your own kids and about your own family.
Yes.
Quit lying to yourself. Some of you need to learn to tell yourself the truth about your own self. We ought to tell the truth whether it helps us or whether it hurts us. Boy, that's a good statement. And I've got to finish number 10, thou shalt not covet. Again, only 2 words used. The word covet means delight, desire, or to lust. God does not want us to look at what others have and want what they have. It's interesting, if you read verse 17, God gets very specific here. He said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant. Now watch this, nor his ox. His ox would be his work equipment. Nor his ass, that would have been his car, his travel. Nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Guess what? I don't covet what my neighbor has. She's sitting right there. No, but seriously, I want nothing that my neighbors have. Yeah. Can I tell you something? I have no desire to get something because somebody else has something. And I don't have to get something better because somebody got something that I wanted. So I'll outdo them. Everybody doing okay? We are not to want what someone else has, including their spouse. Be careful saying, I wish you were more like so-and-so. We're not to desire somebody else's house, their car, their things. Can I tell you something? Live as comfortably as you can at the financial level you are. Learn to be content. I've talked to Michael and Mindy about getting married and stuff, and we're working on their finances. And I looked at both of them square in the face and said, don't you try to live at the level Michael's parents live and that my wife and I live when you're 21 years old. Go back to where we were at 21 and 22. Our apartment was about the size of this platform. You could brush your teeth, go to the bathroom, and comb your hair in the mirror all at the same time while you showered. Literally. My dad's been in that apartment. He'll tell you. It was, and eat your breakfast at the same time too, because it was all right there. It was tight. Man, we thought we were in a palace. We didn't realize it was small till we left there and went to a little 2-bedroom house in Southern California. I'm almost embarrassed to say, 648 square feet, and we thought it was huge. $1,000 a month rent. That house just sold on the market. I looked just to make sure that I was right on things. That house just sold on the market in Long Beach, California. Get this, for $438,000. 2-bedroom, 1-bath, no basement. In earthquake country. Oh, it was great. Man, we thought we were in hog heaven. you say, what is that? Live as comfortably as you can without being so far in debt that you got to work the whole your every hour of every day just to make it happen.
Right.
Maybe you ought to cut your wanter down a little bit.
Amen.
The grass may seem greener on the other side of the fence, but it could be astroturf.
Right.
I've got to finish. Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words. He spake those. Means he verbalized it. Go to Exodus chapter 24. Look at one verse with me and I'm done, I promise. Look at verse number 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee the tables of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. God not only spoke them to the people, he said, come on up here. I've written them out on the tables of stone for you. Another passage says he took his own finger and engraved them into the stones so that it couldn't look like Moses did it. God wrote them with his finger. He spoke them to the people. They were that important. If you go to Exodus chapter 34, I believe, after Moses came down, he saw the people naked, jumping around, dancing to a golden calf, got so mad that he threw the tables of stone down. He had to go back up and go get them again. They were so important that God had Moses get them again. By the way, if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, before the children of Israel go into the land of Canaan, God restates these laws again. Can I tell you why? Because everybody that was under the age of 20, other than Joshua and Caleb, died, and these were the children that grew up in the wilderness. And he didn't want them to have any excuse for not obeying the government. The law shows us here, the Ten Commandments, how man should treat each other. It doesn't stop sin. But it shows us what type of government we should have. We're not to kick God out of government. When we kick God out of government, guess what? Man becomes God. When we kick God out of the public school system and kicked prayer out and kicked the Bible out, guess what happened? Look where our public schools are today. Those of you in school in the 1960s never thought of having sex education taught in schools, and now they teach it to kindergartners. One of the Hollywood whores this week got upset because she was mad because the kids at school were making fun of her son who was wearing dresses to school. Brother Mike, I jumped up and down and said, thank God some boys had enough sense to say some things. Boy showed up to our school in a dress. He wouldn't have gone home with it. They'd had to find somebody untie him from the tree because we'd have tied him up to the tree and just let him hang there for a while, not by his neck. But he'd have found out what a boy does, and does not wear a dress. You would have done that. You didn't grow up when I grew up. We played games. Smear the sodomite. Almost said something I shouldn't say. By the way, we didn't have birthing centers and nurseries at the public schools either. Look it up, Berkeley County School System, Berkeley County High School. Last year, 118 babies born to kids from the school. 1 year. One school. And that's what they will report. That's not the abortions that they don't have to have parents' permission for. That's the real story behind the Ten Commandments. We ought to be better citizens, we ought to be better Christians, and we ought to govern ourselves. And this is how we do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Sorry I went over, but you don't have to go through it anymore.